Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update. Good morning. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I have brought you the person you have been waiting for a very long time. Liana is back for Liana Saturdays. How are you doing, Liana?
Remember that time, Taryn, when I did Liana Saturdays? Roll the tape.
Yeah, clips to us discussing various arguments because they always seem to happen on Fridays. Yeah, and then we discuss them on Saturdays.
No, I'm really happy to be here. Got my wisdom teeth out. Little bit of swelling still, but I think I've lost permanent Snapchat filter face. So I'm here and ready to talk about Big Brother.
Are you as high or more high or less high than Christmas?
At the moment, less, but definitely when I got my wisdom teeth out, much more. I had a hallucination that my oral surgeon and the nurses were those blue monsters from Avatar. And I was like convinced that they were the ones that were operating on me. But overall, it was a pretty positive experience. So 10 out of 10, I would definitely get my wisdom teeth removed by those blue monsters from Avatar.
I think you played this all wrong because you were like, I can't be on the podcast because I just got my wisdom teeth out. It should have been the complete opposite. We should have had you on like all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Right after you got them out.
Yes.
You would have just been like, Paul's doing so well.
I really hope that wouldn't have been me. I probably would have been yelling a lot more or crying because apparently another thing I did was I lied to the oral surgeon about having ice cream in my house because he was like, okay, did you get ice cream? And I was like, yeah. And then I realized I lied about it and I started crying. And I felt really bad about the fact that I'd lied about ice cream. So I don't really know how much analysis I would have brought, but it certainly would have been entertaining.
Is ice cream to you as cereal is to Matt? Is that what's going on here?
Well, I don't know. I cried about it, so very possible.
All right. Well, we are here to update you on everything that happened on the feeds yesterday. There really wasn't a whole lot that we got to see. The feeds came on at around midnight Eastern time. So there's really only a couple of hours to catch up on everything that had happened when the feeds went down after the double eviction. But we did find out that the rumors, the leaks had been true. Christmas had, in fact, won the HOH competition, and she has nominated Jason and Matt as the two pawns in a plan to backdoor Mark.
Yes. So that's the assumption that Mark is going to be the backdoor option. As far as we know, and we'll talk about this later, the new temptation twist, he is eligible for nomination, assuming that he doesn't win the veto. So it does seem that Mark is the first option, although there have been some talks, especially by Paul, of actually targeting Jason if Mark is unable to go up on the block.
Yeah, it seems like a lot has changed in terms of Paul's long-term plans since the feeds went down. But we also have this new temptation twist that we're going to be seeing on Sunday night. And what this consists of is there's two like little trees, and they like pick an apple from one of these trees. I don't know how it works exactly, but there's different prizes, powers, and like curses, right? So the ones that we know of right now are there's a second veto power. There's a bounty on your head curse, which means that the HOH that gets you out will win $5,000. It provides extra incentive for them to get you out. There is an eliminate two eviction votes power. And then there's a can't play in the next HOH curse. And then a save a friend power, which means you grant somebody safety. And the one we know that was chosen was Mark, who I believe was the first out of the HOH competition, got to pick an apple, and he got the save a friend power, which he used to save Paul.
Surprise.
So we
don't know exactly how this works. There's something, like you said, with choosing apples. So that tree that's near the front of the house, that's like really fancy with the LED lights that I remember everybody was excited about when they first had the house reveal, underneath that are these like kind of five options for either temptations or curses. And Mark seems to have won the save a friend, used it on Paul. The rationale that I've heard, and I haven't actually seen this from Mark himself, is the fact that, Paul is going to be safe no matter what. And Paul was going to be untouchable. Mark had no one else that he could use it on. And so, opening up all the other targets was sort of the best way that he could use this power, because it leaves everyone else on the board to be an option other than himself.
Yes, I believe we cut out for a second there, but I think we understand what you're trying to get across. But like, I think there was, you know, people are kind of criticizing Mark for choosing Paul to have this safety. But as you were saying, it's like, who else is he going to save? Like, right. There's nobody else in the house that has his back. So we might as well just give it to the person who has the most amount of power.
Yeah, well, that and like because Paul was going to be safe, like there was no way that Christmas was ever going to target Paul. And so if he can use it on Paul, then at least everyone else is still a potential option if Mark can try and flip it for some reason on anyone else.
Yes. I mean, obviously, you kind of hope that Mark gets the second veto power here. The save a friend is very useless to him, but he does not. There was also some talk about Raven possibly getting the can't play in the next HOH curse. I didn't see that confirmed anywhere, but there was some talk about that being a potential outcome. We'll probably know by tomorrow. So just keep on the lookout for that. And then some other news. Jason found out that his wife is pregnant with their next child in his HOH letter.
Congratulations! Can you imagine finding out that way? I don't know if that's better or worse than any other way, but yeah, so he, you know, because he was the HOH for the double eviction, he still gets the HOH letter and finds out that, yes, his wife is pregnant, which we completely missed all of this. I would love to have seen that. That would have been fun.
Yeah, I mean, we missed a lot. Jason, he's now going to be a father to another child. His entire life has changed, and he's also now a target in the house. I can't
help but think that those two are a little bit connected, right?
So much is changing for Jason.
So proud.
Yes. So right from the get-go, these feeds come on and Paul is pretty much immediately throwing Kevin under the bus yet again, telling Christmas that Kevin is secretly trying to gun for Matt this week. And by keeping the nominations the same, he's trying to tell people like, oh, we should. This is great for us. Win the veto, keep the nominations the same. Don't let Mark go up on the block and then we can take Matt out. Obviously, we don't know if this is true. We didn't get a chance to see this conversation, but Paul is definitely selling it as true to Christmas and Christmas. So why is he messing with my plans? Why is Kevin doing this?
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely an attempt to break up the Kevin and Christmas relationship because they've had such a strong relationship thus far. And Paul knows that he's going to have to start to drive a wedge in between these two players. And so this is allowing him to do that, you know, just very subtly being like, man, why would he mess with you that way? Like, that's like, I don't understand why he would do that. And so Christmas is now becoming, much more cautious when it comes to Kevin and certainly worried about him, potentially. There's still the target of Jason, which we'll talk about, but, Kevin could also be someone who might end up going this week or in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it seems as though Kevin is in a lot of trouble. I think his saving grace right now is that they did talk a lot about how he is not really a threat. He can't really win any of these competitions. And they also talked about how they don't think he can win in the end either. So despite the fact that he's been quote unquote acting sketchy, the target is not really on his back. And Josh in particular is like, look, he's sketchy, but we don't need to bother with him anytime soon. Obviously, Paul has a different stance on that because Kevin has a lot of dirt on Paul. But with Paul's new plans, that dirt almost doesn't even matter as much anymore because that dirt really only applies to Alex and Jason. And Paul has kind of turned his back on them, which we will talk about very soon. We sort of learned that as the night progressed. But first, Josh had a conversation with Matt, which was kind of surprising, saying, we trust each other. We're all good. It's Jason and Alex. Those are the bad guys now. And it's like, what's happening here? Since when are Josh and Matt and Raven aligned?
Right. Yeah. Well, so if we kind of think about there's Mark who, okay, let's assume that Mark goes. Then you have Kevin and Paul who are sort of singles at this point. Then you have three sets of pairs. So you have Josh and Christmas who are a pair. You have Matt and Raven who are a pair. And then you have Jason and Alex who are a pair. And so there are sort of a number of permutations and combinations that could end up going into, the final seven and final five. And so we're starting to see a shift in which are the pairs that are actually aligned together. So the original assumption that we had been going off of and what we had heard so much was that it was going to be, you know, Matt and Raven, Paul, and then Alex and Jason. And Alex and Jason and Matt and Raven were going to be the pair that were working together. But now we're starting to see a shift with both Matt and Raven, Christmas, and Josh and Paul, where that group of five is starting to become stronger and might actually be, you know, Paul's or the other group's ideal final five.
Yeah, there's been a lot of shifting here. As you mentioned, like it really looked like Paul was setting himself up to be the fifth wheel in a final five where there's two pairs, and one of those pairs was going to be Alex and Jason. The other one, it was talking about for a while, was going to be Josh and Christmas, with Matt and Raven being the next targets. But it does seem as though something has shifted in the last couple of days. I have to imagine that part of it is Alex saying Jason is my ride or die in front of the entire house. Part of it is that when this conversation that Jason had with Mark came out when they were having chess, Paul knew about the gist of that conversation, but he did not understand the full context of it. And as it came out, he had people like Josh telling him, no, I was watching that conversation. Jason was very complicit in it. He seemed like he was encouraging the entire thing, which has really started to sketch Paul out. And that's why Jason is becoming a target now. And I have to imagine another part of it is the fact that Jason just won an HOH and then almost won a veto. He's starting to think, man, Jason might be a decent physical competitor. And pair that with Alex, who is a very good competitor. And maybe I should start looking at like Matt and Raven, who couldn't even get past the first puzzle in that veto. Maybe they are a better pair to take down to the end. But it looks like he may not even want to take the pair of them to the end. He's talking about, you know, cutting them up and, you know, thinking about doing something else. So it's, you know, I thought I had Paul's final five to final three plans like locked down, but it has changed a bit. And now he's talking about like maybe it's going to be Josh and Christmas and then like Kevin and Raven as, you know, two people who might be separately loyal to him, but not loyal to each other and also bad at competitions. That wouldn't be too bad for him. But if he's talking about splitting up pairs, maybe he wants to go down to the end with like one from each pair. Who knows at this point? Because obviously when he's talking about this final five, he's talking about it to Josh and Christmas. And who knows if those are the people who knows if he's just like telling them what they want to hear. So lots of intrigue surrounding Paul's final five plans.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of things now that Paul is starting to consider, right? Because as he was going along throughout the game, Paul's MO was, who's the person who is least loyal to me and is the most threat to my game? Let me isolate that one single person, turn everyone against them, and then get them out. I think now as Paul is getting closer to end game, he's starting to think, oh, right, there are a number of other factors I need to start considering. Who can I beat in the end, both comp wise and then in the final vote? And then also who is still going to be loyal and who's going to take me? So now that we have consideration of actual comp prowess coming into play, that's another reason I agree with you why Jason and Alex are starting to be targeted. I think also, not going to lie, I think Jason's pregnant wife is going to play a role in this because he looks like a sympathetic figure and that's going to help his vote at the end. I mean, if you can say like, I have a child on the way, this is why I need the money. That's a really compelling argument and pulls at the heartstrings of the jury voters.
Yeah. And I have to say, you know, we've talked about how Paul's biggest weakness in this game will probably be being taken to the final two. Who is going to take Paul to the end? Most of them are aware that he can win the game. He's been trying to say that he can't, but most of them don't believe it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going to the final five with two pairs is a really great spot to be in because it forces them to take you basically to final three. However, if Paul has so much control over these people that he doesn't need to be in that position, then he can just pick and choose all of the weakest competitors on the season. And then that increases his chances of winning his way to the end, which is probably what he needs to do. So I actually kind of like this from Paul. It's not something I was entirely expecting, but I think, you know, I think Paul has been increasing his chances to win ever since the feeds went down. And his new plans seem even more solid than before.
Yeah, I think with the, you know, that final five that you mentioned being Christmas, Josh, Raven, and Kevin, I think that, you know, if I look at those four people, that's definitely Paul thinking these are people I can beat in competitions. Yeah. And these are people that I don't have to rely on taking me to the end. So if that's really what he's thinking, I mean, I can't help but think he's going to put himself in a really good position if those are the final four that he can end up with.
And honestly, I feel like he may even want to like substitute Josh for Alex there, because while Alex is a better competitor, I feel like Alex would remain loyal to him. So it would mm-hmm. kind of be like him and Alex versus the field, with Alex as a target in front of him. And then without Jason there, I do think Alex would take Paul to the final too. So he's been kind of like, you know, Josh has kind of been pushing Alex as like our third target. Paul has been kind of like, maybe not Alex quite yet. So that may be the secret plan that we're not aware of quite yet. I think that may be a better option, though it is a little risky to have somebody that good at competitions there, that you could always be netted at that point. So you got to be careful of that. But man, Paul just continues to steamroll this game, and his position is only getting better at this point. Matt and Raven, after they talk with Josh, they have a conversation, and Matt is like, oh man, I wish Christmas had nominated Alex next to me, because if something goes wrong and we have to do the backup plan, I would much prefer to get Alex out of the house than Jason, because she's a much better competitor. And he's really targeting Alex in his sights as soon as possible. He thinks that, I mean, he's been talking about it for a while. Like, she is one of the best competitors of all time. Like, she's going to win this game. He thinks that she is the biggest threat by far. So it's not surprising at all that he's going to be targeting her sometime soon. He expects that if something does go wrong and Mark wins the veto for whatever reason, that he'll have Paul's vote, Josh's vote, and Raven's vote, and then Christmas will break a tie to evict Jason, which when I heard this on the feeds initially, I was like, oh, you fool. And then turns out, no, that's probably actually what will happen.
Yeah. Which was, because that was funny, because that was my thought too. This was before I had heard Paul starting to talk about Jason in such a threatening way. And I was like, oh, Matt, like, you're so silly. This is, we've seen you on the block. You've been the pawn, and now it's time for you to go. And it's like, oh, darn it. Like, he got it right, but that's not fair. Like, he got it right through luck. Not because of his read on the house.
Yeah. And I mean, as Nina's saying, like, that would be great. And I think it would, because it does put Paul in a tricky situation, because, you know, for him to turn his back on Jason so soon, mm-hmm. it really would sketch Alex out, I think, to a decent extent. And it would, and like, if he sketches her out and she talks to Kevin and she gets all that info from Kevin, all of a sudden you've got Alex, Kevin, and Mark as a threesome that might be against your group.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that would be ideal. The thing is that I've just seen Paul pull the wool over Alex's eyes so many freaking times that I really want to see it, but I just don't know if it's possible. Although Jason is her ride or die. You know, she is so close to Jason. And so to have Paul cut Jason so early, especially for someone like Matt, who, you know, Paul has said multiple times, like, yeah, Maven, they're going to be the next target to Alex and Jason. You know, that kind of sense of betrayal, and then also taking out Jason. I feel like possibly those two things combined could be enough to push Alex over the edge. And then having Kevin, who is already somewhat distrustful of Paul, has enough dirt on Paul. If they can work with Mark, that could be a threesome that might actually challenge Paul and his authority in the house.
Yeah, at the very least, it puts Paul in a tricky situation that he really doesn't want to be in. I think, obviously, he would much prefer that next week Matt or Raven win the HOH, and then they take a shot at Alex and Jason, or something along those lines. And then if it's like Alex versus Jason on the block, he can be like, man, Alex, I'm so sorry that we have to evict Jason, but obviously I'm doing it to protect you. Mm-hmm. And that's a much better spot to be in for Paul. And he can easily, you know, twist that any way that he wants. Paul talks to Matt and Raven and suggests this final five with them, that says, you know, we're going to go down to the final five. It's going to be you, Raven, me, Christmas, Josh. Final five, done. It's going to be great. Then he goes up to Christmas and Josh and says, all right, final five, you, Josh, Raven, and Kevin. It's going to be great. He's just, he's tailoring it to each person here. He also says that that Josh had told him, and this is where he says Josh had told him that conversation with Jason and Mark was like a mutual thing. It wasn't just Mark coming at Jason. And he also says that he thinks that the reason why taking Jason out first is better in terms of Alex versus Jason is that if he takes Jason out, Alex and Kevin will never work together because they hate each other. I don't think that's true. Like I said, if Alex is sketched out enough and then talks to Kevin and then says, Kevin, yeah, actually, Paul told us that you had the $25,000 and he just found out a week ago. And Kevin goes, whoa, no, he's known all along. He also told me to cast that hinky vote. I think that's what potentially opens Alex's eyes. Then she's working with Kevin at that point. Maybe they pull in Mark. We talk about this all the time, like things that theoretically could go wrong for Paul. They never do. This is this week's version.
So I was just thinking, I was like out because of my wisdom teeth. So I wasn't able to listen to podcasts or watch feeds for a few days. So on the last couple of days, especially with feeds being down, I was catching up on everything. And it was just so funny to hear. Oh, yeah. Well, so when Mark and Elena win HOH and they turn up on, it was like all these grand plans that were going to happen. And I was like, yeah, that'd be so great if that could. Oh, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, it's fun to throw these ideals around. And like, of course, it would be so wonderful if Alex and Jason, you know, Mark goes out this week, whatever. Alex and Jason turn on Paul next week and they're able to, you know, pull in Kevin. And it's, you know, there's all these hypothetical situations. I think we do have to acknowledge, though, how strong a hold Paul has, like whether or not we want to talk about it, admit it, or praise him or not. Like, that is the facts of the situation. That's the truth. And while, yes, it would be nice, you know, I do think that Paul still has the highest win equity by far of anyone in the house. And we'll
see the
probably,
Heisman win equity.
He's yeah, right. Yeah. He's the Heisman winner. Got the Heimlich. So he's just in such a great spot.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about it yesterday with John, with like Paul has this very, you know, like a psychological hold on these people. He's like a dictator and it's going to be very hard for them to break out of that. We keep talking about it over and over, like something could happen theoretically here or there, but it's just not happening. He really does have a very strong hold here. And we talked about the reasons why. That was a very fun podcast. I really enjoyed it. He talks to Josh and Christmas, and like the new eviction order is Mark, Jason, and then Matt. Speaking about Matt, I mean, like, we keep talking about how terribly Matt is playing and that, like, you know, he hasn't realized that he is like the next target down, but they just keep pushing him back. And like, they had a shot on double eviction night. They didn't take it. And it's really starting to remind me of like, he's like the Caleb of Big Brother 16, like where it was just like, you constantly thought like, okay, this is the week we're going to take Caleb out. But then it was like, well, I guess not, though, because he's just so dumb and he doesn't realize what's happening and he's so loyal. Like, he's just in his own la-la land, like eating cereal or in Caleb's case, like Judy chopping. Like there's no point in taking him out. And that's just like continuing to happen with Matt. And, you know, we talked about this in Big Brother 16, or really, I didn't, but like, people did. And I was thinking it. But like, Caleb was a legitimate potential winner candidate toward the end of Big Brother 16. If some, like, he was the, like, oh, if Derek somehow fails, we could see Caleb winning the game. Should we start talking about, like, is Matt gonna make it far enough along that all of a sudden he seems just like the inoffensive, like, person that could get to the end and people are just like, you know what, he's fine, he never did anything wrong to us, and he's not one of Paul's vicious minions, like, why don't we just give Matt the win versus like Raven or, you know, Christmas or somebody like that?
Yeah, I mean, if you do end up with a bitter jury and people who are resentful for the moves that someone else has made, you know, someone like Matt, who has done pretty much nothing apart from, like we said, eat a lot of cereal, which I guess is really inoffensive, so maybe that should be a new strategy. Like, going to the Big Brother house, eat 10 bowls of cereal a day, and no one will ever target you. It's possible that he could end up, you know, getting some votes in the end. I still think my favorite part about Beast Mode Cowboy is the fact that he still thought the bomb squad was a thing. So I would prefer if Matt had something like that where he still thought he was in some sort of an alliance. But I'll take the comparison.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it last night, but I mean, his true goal is cereal. Yeah. As long as they just keep shoving cereal bowls into his hands, he's just like too distracted. It's like, you know, like Cody could have played a halfway decent game if he wasn't constantly distracted with Jessica. It's that is what cereal is to Matt. It's like if because he says he can't have cereal in his house or he'll just like he'll go bonkers. And so this is what we need to do. If we want to see Matt play the game, we need to petition CBS to remove all cereal from the house. And then he just wait, the hunger in his eyes, it'll be there. He'll be like, wait a minute, there's no cereal now. Like, I guess I just have to start playing this game so I can win and then I'll get my cereal.
I'm pretty sure Matt is suffering from a full blown addiction. Like, I think that Big Brother is a good place. You know, it's I don't know if people think of it like some sort of rehab type facility, but this is the opposite of him, like of what he needs. He says he doesn't even keep cereal in the house. And yet in the Big Brother house, he is constantly being exposed to cereal like that. I feel for him. He needs help.
Yeah. Are you able to eat cereal with your wisdom teeth?
No. Maybe I'm just lashing out because I'm jealous because I can't eat anything other than like whipped cream and ice cream and it sucks.
Sounds like it sucks. Yeah.
It's like when you're a kid, you're like, I'm just going to eat chocolate all day for dinner. And then you eat chocolate and you feel sick. That's how I feel.
Okay.
It's not all fun. Right.
Okay, so that's, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot to update here. Obviously, we needed to catch up on a few things, but there was really only a couple hours of feeds to be able to watch. But as I mentioned, a lot has changed in the last few days. So there are some ramifications of that. But let me know if you have any questions in the chat before we wrap this up. Liana, let me know if there's anything else that you wanted to talk about.
There was a literal rat in the kitchen.
Oh, yes.
Last night, and then feeds cut, and then feeds come back, and it's Matt eating cereal. Really? So yeah, that was gross.
Yeah, you know, hopefully he hadn't caught the rat and like put it into his cereal or something.
To be 100% honest, he could be like eating cereal, a rat could come up and like take food out of his bowl and he would have no idea. I swear the kid is like cereal blind. I don't know.
He just gets into a trance.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm telling you that beard, it's just like cereal worn from years and years of eating cereal.
I believe that.
They tried to like catch the rat. Christmas was laughing at them upstairs. You know, it happens. It was no Big Brother 16 Team America rat, that's for sure.
If only.
Yes.
Derek didn't stay long enough to instigate the the rat hunting.
Maybe he released a fake rat into the house to freak them out, because we know that he's a Jody fan, and he must have been very annoyed at them clapping that they were evicted. So he was like, "Oh, well, just you wait until tonight when the rat comes out."
Yeah, well, that's the most entertaining thing Derek's done on Big Brother, so.
All right. Question from Jeff. When do you think Kevin will wake up and play the game? What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, he did kind of start trying to play the game. You know, the deal that he was going to try to make with Cody, that was him sort of starting to wake up, and he was essentially slapped on the wrist for it and is now being targeted because of that. So I don't think that was necessarily a good experience for him. So I think that when it comes to Kevin playing the game, like, I want him to try again. But I, you know, I just don't know when that's going to come after this bad experience.
Yeah, it's this kind of thing where we talked about it yesterday with the psychological stuff, but it's like he's put himself into a hole where it's like, how does he even dig himself out of it right now? Like, it's almost as though his best move is to just kind of like hope that he doesn't get targeted soon and then hope that Paul makes a mistake and then he can capitalize on the mistake. Because if he tries to actively make a move right now, mm-hmm. if he went to Alex right now and said, Paul told me about told me to make the hinky vote, he lied about the 25K. I don't think she'd care right now. I think she would say like, what, why are you trying to turn me against Paul? It has to come from her. She has to feel like she was sketched out from something that Paul did. And unless Paul makes a mistake, he's ironclad at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, unless Kevin can start being really subtle about planting seeds, but I just don't think that that's necessarily going to happen.
As from Dominic, will Josh be the prince that is promised? This is something that I forgot to talk about last night because I thought it was one of the more funny things that happened on the episode. But like, we talked about how when Derek came into the house with the bag, Paul was like freaked out. But Josh was also freaked out. Josh was like, no, I'm in control of the house right now and Derek is coming in. He's going to ruin my game. Like, he was reacting like Paul was, like he was the one in control. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, didn't Derek also tell Josh, like, be himself or something like that?
I heard that somewhere.
Like, they were talking about it on the feeds later. Like, Derek told him to be himself. It's like, oh, inspirational words from Derek.
Yeah, I think he said like don't just like follow. Like, I think he was like, there were talks about like, oh, was he trying to hint that they shouldn't just follow Paul? But you can't be subtle with these. Like, give Derek a day in the house and he'll be able to turn everyone. But you know, just a comment here and there is not going to be able to do anything.
No. Mensa member Raven is not going to pick up on that.
Yeah, well, he's no Dan turned Gary on Emmett in one conversation, but you know. do we think Zingbot is going to make an appearance from Larissa?
Yeah, I mean, we're down to, you know, final nine. So my assumption is that Zingbot will probably be the veto this week, will be involved in the veto this week, because I think I saw Zingbot in the audience of the double eviction show on Thursday. So that, you know, that's my guess. It's either going to be this week or next.
All right. Do we have any guesses about what the Zings are going to be?
Oh, my gosh. There are people on the internet who are far more clever than I am, who have come up with some absolutely amazing Zings.
All right. Hopefully there'll be some good ones. I don't know. I feel like everybody really needs a good zing on Paul right now. I think that's what most of the audience is hoping for at the moment.
Yeah, and Raven.
Oh yeah. Oh man, there could be some really good ones for Raven. And I feel like the house would just eat it up too. Like, oh my God, they see it too. All right.
Yeah. Well, because that's the thing, is that what's been said is that everybody thinks that Raven is so beloved outside of the house. So like Jillian, like I was at Hearts of Reality this past weekend and met Jillian and Ramses, and they were like, yeah, she's going to be in for a rude awakening when she gets out. And so they were saying that inside the house, everybody was so nice to Raven because they thought that she was so loved, you know? And so, I think to have her get a really harsh zing, everybody's going to be like, oh my gosh, finally, like, yes, we appreciate this.
Yeah. All right. That is our update for today. We will be back tomorrow at noon Eastern to update you on everything that happens on the feeds today. And then after the West Coast airing on Sunday night, Rob will be live to talk about the nominations, the new temptation twist, and all of that stuff. And then the LFC Roundtable podcast will be live 8 p.m. Eastern. And of course, the Taran Show will be dropping on Tuesday with a new very special guest. So keep on the lookout for that. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm at Armstrong Taran. Liana is at Liana Boris. Do you want to spell that?
Yes, LianaBoraas.
There you go. Make sure she's very funny on Twitter, so make sure you follow Liana. Okay, so thank you everyone for joining us. We will see you next time.